Hello, my name is John Tewins. I'm BioCor's Director of Scientific and Regulatory Affairs. I've been with the company for 20 years and I look after BioCor's global regulatory position. And I'm here to talk to you today about BioCor's biocidal product regulatory position within Europe. The aim of this presentation today is to give you background knowledge on what the biocidal product regulation actually is. And also, as explained earlier, to give you the information on BioCor's biocidal product position, you know, what we've done, what our authorization is going to be, and also to explain the advantages of BioCor's position. So if we talk a little about the BPR, so lots of people see the BPR and hear of it and go, oh, it's this new regulation. Well, in fact, the biocidal product regulation has been around for a number of years. It came into force in 2013 and actually is a follow-on to the Biocidal Products Directive, which controlled biocides within Europe. And the intent of the biocidal product regulation is to basically reduce the risks in the use of biocides, both to the environment and to people. Also, efficacy is obviously one of the tenets of the biocidal product regulation, looking to make sure that the products work. And one of the things is, well, what is a biocide? And the definition of a biocide is, as per the slides, any substance or mixture in the form which is supplied to the user consisting of or containing or generating one or more active substances with the intention of destroying, deterring, rendering harmless, preventing the action of or otherwise exerting a controlling effect on any harmful organism by means of other than mere physical or mechanical action, i.e. fly swatter, mechanical action out of scope, but anything that uses chemistry to actually kill or you know, reduce the population or keep static the population of microbial organisms is within scope. So that's anything from the silver within your socks that claims to have an antimicrobial action to your chopping board on your kitchen surface that has an antimicrobial in it to obviously, you know, toilet cleaners and products like BioCor's. So let's talk a little bit about authorization. So products need to be authorized within the European Union or specific member states within the European Union to allow them to be sold. As I said, there are different types of authorizations that can be acquired or applied for. Now, there is the kind of the biggest one, which is the Union authorization, which is where you apply once and all of the member states look at the authorization and ultimately you gain what's called a union authorization, allowing you to sell that product across all of the European Union states. There is a national authorization where you can apply to a national body. For example, France, if you only wanted to sell your product in France, you could apply to the French competent authority who would look at it, give you an authorization, but that means that your product could only be sold in France. If you were to sell that product in Germany, that would be an illegal use. And so it can be sold in France, that's it. And then the third option is you have a national authorization with mutual recognition, which is where you can say, actually, I want to sell in France, Italy, and Germany. So you can choose one of those states as your main submission state. So let's say France again. So we submit to France, but also then in parallel, do a mutual recognition submission to Italy and Germany, which means if you get the authorization, you can sell in France, Italy, and Germany, but no other countries outside of that. And it's really important to understand the authorization that a product has to ensure that you're using it legally within the territory in which you reside. So BioCor submitted a union authorization for its product. We submitted that back in January 2017, which was the date for our submission was the 1st of February, so of 2017. So BioCor had its dossier in. And actually BioCor, it's taken, you know, a number of years, 5 years of hard work, but BioCor received what's called its BPC approval, its Biocidal Product Committee approval, which is a committee within the European Chemicals Agency that determines, you know, looks through all of the data and determines whether an approval should be issued or not. And the the characteristics, you know, or the specifications of that approval that should be issued. And so Bioqual got its approval opinion on the 13th of October in 2021.
Ecolab's Bioqual HPV AQ was approved by the European Chemicals Agency on the 14th of July 2022 with the approval number EU0027469.
Biocides within Europe are broken down into something called product types, or PTs, and there are 22 of them. And they range from PT1, which is human hygiene, which are things like hand disinfectants, alcohol, hand gels, all the way through to PT22, which is embalming fluids. So things like formaldehyde, where you do embalming of you know, creatures, etc. And the key kind of biggest PT is PT2, which is disinfectants not intended for direct application to humans or animals, and basically covers the vast majority of disinfectant use. So this is, you know, surface disinfection within hospitals, industrial premises, schools, etc. Also, we have PT3, which is veterinary hygiene. And, you know, that is, you know, veterinary facilities, farms, etc. And PT4, food and feed areas, which is restaurants, it's food manufacturing facilities, you know, places where you will have food stored. And these are the three PTs that Bioqual see as core to its business. PT2 being the absolute core PT that the most of our uses are under. But also, you know, we do have customers within that veterinary space. And also obviously in the food area for disinfection. And so Bioqual has applied for a union authorization to cover our product use in PTs 2, 3 and 4. And again, just as an example here, just to show you what Bioqual's position is, PT2, as I said, covers things like isolators, it covers hospitals, it covers isolator, clean room manufacturing facilities and filling lines. Bioqual has also, as I said, gone for a PT3, but we've gone for restricted use because Bioqual's process is not intended to go and disinfect a pigsty on a farm or to go and, you know, disinfect a cow shed. You know, what Bioqual's product is intended for within the PT3 space is to decontaminate animal cages where animals are used within you know, procedures, etc., to understand new cell and gene therapies, etc., animal models. And so what Bioqual has is or has applied for is an authorization to decontaminate animal cages, whereby ensuring that those new genetically modified animals that are, you know, the models go into an environment that is aseptic. You know, they're not going to be affected by a microbiological organism, which could then, you know, infect your very expensive mouse model that you've done your genetic engineering to and actually compromise your experiment. And so we've applied for and obtained the position in relation to that. And also PT4, which, as I said, food and feed areas, that covers anything from a table that you could be eating off of all the way through to, you know, conveyor belts where we are on a food manufacturing facility with chilled food processing and ready to go salads that end up on supermarket shelves. So Bioqual's BPR position has five key aspects, really. So it's our delivery system, okay, what we use to deliver that liquid product to the surface, which the microbes are resident on. Our authorized enclosure volumes, you know, what size enclosures, rooms can we decontaminate? What are our efficacy claims? You know, what microorganisms can we claim to kill? What are our cycle claims? How long does it take? What is it that, you know, how long does it take to actually, you know, kill an organism? And our areas of use claims, which, you know, we've just briefly touched on there. We're also going to look at other kind of changes and requirements that have come through, you know, cycle validation and verification requirements. Talk a little about occupational exposure limits, You know, when you want to go back into a room that's been decontaminated with a BioCore system, what's the level? What's safe for you to go in? And just a little bit about label language in clusters. We're doing a union authorization, which means that you have all of the languages of the European Union that need to be addressed on our bottle claims and labels. And so how are we basically arranging those languages and those label claims into clusters throughout Europe? So first of all, let's have a look at the delivery system. Now, the way that the BPR is structured, and this comes from standards, etc., and the working the efficacy working group within the European Chemicals Agency, is the delivery system plays a key role in an automated airborne disinfection. You know, how you take that liquid product in the bottle and then get that onto the surface changes depending on different delivery systems, and that affects the efficacy. We have vapor, we have fog, we have aerosol, we have mist, and we have thermal fog. And each of these is actually a distinct use within an authorization process. For example, BioQuell's authorization is for our vapor phase product. It's been tested as a vapor and it's authorized as a vapor. So this is BioQuell's vapor generators are the delivery mechanism that has been authorized to be used with BioQuell's product. What that means is that you cannot take a BioQuell HPVAQ solution and put it into a fogger. A fog is a different delivery mechanism. It has a different particle size. It distributes in a different way. Gravity effects are present on fogs. And that's equally true for an aerosol or a mist. And it's really important that people understand the delivery mechanism that a product is authorized for, because it's an illegal use to use it in a different mechanism. So if it's authorized for a vapor, it can be used as a vapor. If it's authorized as a mist, it can be used as a mist. And so this is where we and our users have to understand the authorizations on a product. It's absolutely key, because otherwise you could be unintentionally illegally using a product. And again, let's have a look at enclosure volume. So BioQuell's product, HPVAQ, is authorized for use in both large and small enclosures. And this aligns with the European standard 17272. So for small enclosures, our authorized range, the range of size in which we can use, is 0.25 meters cubed up to 4 meters cubed. And that covers the range of most small enclosures. The reason that the 0.25 is the bottom limit is because realistically, it's very difficult to actually do a vaporized process in a smaller chamber than that. You'd most likely do a manual process within that sort of chamber. But that's BioQuell's bottom limit. And then for our large enclosure range, we have 4 meters cubed up. There is no limit on the top size that, you know, of enclosure that you can actually do with the BioQuell HPVAQ. And we'll come across to validation and verification later, but the reason that there is no limit is because you need to verify the performance of the cycle in the scenario, the enclosure that you're actually disinfecting. Okay. And so you will do the verification with biological indicators or calibrated chemical indicators to ensure that those large enclosures are fully decontaminated. Based on what we're hearing, and just feedback from the market, the expectation is that many automated airborne disinfection systems and, you know, the isolators with onboard hydrogen peroxide vapor, manufacturers may not actually have obtained registration for use in small enclosures. And so users of isolators and people looking to purchase, you know, automated airborne disinfection, hydrogen peroxide vapor disinfection systems for their isolators and their small enclosures should just be aware and check, have conversations with their providers. Do they have an authorization for small enclosure use? Because what you don't want to be doing is using a product that's not authorized, you know, is illegal for that use. And also the other kind of expectation or you know, again, feedback that we're hearing from the marketplace is that on the upper scale, many manufacturers will be limited in relation to their large enclosure range. Potentially, you know, 30 meters cubed to 150 meter cubed range is what we are hearing and potentially seeing in some of the drafts and things that we're hearing. So again, users just need to be aware of what the authorizations are for potential systems that they are looking to purchase, have conversations with those manufacturers and ask them to provide their public documentation, their summary of product characteristics, okay, which lays out their authorization and their authorized use. If we go on to look at efficacy, there is a guidance document produced by the European Chemicals Agency called the Volume 2 Efficacy Assessment and Evaluation, also known as in industry as the ECHA PT 1 to 5 guidance document. It did just cover PTs 1 to 5, but is now extended out to cover the other PTs. But this guidance document lays out the efficacy requirements for different applications and scenarios that biocide manufacturers must reach and show, you know, and test against to prove the efficacy of their products. And within the guidance document, there is a specific section on enclosure disinfection using vaporized biocides such as Bioquells, and it lays out, as I've said, the requirements on the test standards, the test methods that manufacturers must apply to their technologies to show the standardized level of efficacy. And within the document, it refers to EN17272, which is the European standard test for automated airborne disinfection systems. Now, because the biocidal the review of submissions has taken several years, this standard came out in 2020. And so some submissions may have been done on the previous data to a standard called NFT 72281, which is a French national standard. And EN17272 and NFT 72281 are very similar standards. The only difference is with 17272 you have an additional distribution test, so it looks at how well that hydrogen peroxide or peracetic acid chemistry is distributed around the entire enclosure, and it also looks at small enclosure testing versus large enclosure testing, breaks it down into those two areas. And so here we have the efficacy requirements to make certain group claims against groups of microorganisms. So we can see here that the efficacy is broken down into different areas, and there's a slight kind of mismatch between the groups that the standard utilizes and the PTs, and we have to kind of do a little bit of work across. But basically for the medical area, which is for anywhere like a hospital or for a medical, you know, area within a school, you know, the nurse's office within the school, for example, anywhere that you'll have a, you know, a medical procedure that goes on, the organism requirements are listed here. And you can see that you need to get a 5-log reduction of Staph aureus, Enterococcus hirae, Escherichia coli, Acinetobacter baumannii. Those are the four organisms that you need to test, and you need to get a 5-log reduction from a 6-log or greater starting inoculum. And that's the requirement. If you want to claim I've got a bactericidal action, you need to pass that. When we look at the veterinary area, which is basically a PT3 application, can kind of do some PT2, but we have there Pseudomonas again, Staph aureus, Enterococcus here, but also a different organism called Proteus horsari. Okay, and so you need the, you know, different areas require different organisms. And then you have the industrial and food area. Again, they are very similar to the medical area, but you need to do Pseudomonas aeruginosa, not Acinetobacter baumannii. So it's tailored to those organisms that you find in the areas. And you can see the different log reductions there, and you can see the categories, those groups of microorganisms of which you can claim against. So if you want to make a bactericidal claim, you have to test the bacteria. If you want to make a viricidal claim, you know, against viruses, you have to test against murine norovirus and adenovirus type 5 for the medical area. If you want to make that claim in a veterinary area, you need to test against porcine parvovirus. Now, Bioquell has tested against all of these categories, okay? And Bioquell's approval will cover bactericidal, sporicidal, fungicidal, yeasticidal, viricidal, mycobactericidal, and bacteriophagicidal. We cover the entire lot. So we have test data against all of these organisms for the log reductions required. And that's what's great with Bioquell. And the thing that Bioquell's done, which we'll come on to, is that we have a single cycle claim for all of these organisms. Some manufacturers may say, for bacteria, you need to do X, and for viruses, you need to do Y, and, you know, different cycles. Bioquell's is one. So as I've mentioned already, Bioquell's efficacy position is that we have a BPC approval opinion, which we expect to be authorized in PTs 2, 3, and 4, covering bacteria, mycobacteria, spores, fungi and yeast, viruses, and bacteriophage. So cycle time. This is what Bioquell see as a, or expect to see as a key advantage for Bioquell's technology. Over the years, there's been lots of discussion on what is the process for vapor phase hydrogen peroxide. Bioquell's technology uses a microcondensation-based process. Other technologies claim to use a gaseous-based process. And there's been discussions on what is the most rapid method to achieve, you know, microbial kill. Is it microcondensation-based? Is it gaseous? And because the authorization process looks to a standardized test, what this allows is for users to be able to compare technologies in this standardized test. And so we have Bioquell's claim that we've got for large enclosures. And so this claim is based on the standardized test. And the standardized test is an empty room, and so the cycle may not be appropriate for different size enclosures because of the surface of the volume, and we'll talk more about that later from a cycle verification perspective. But Bioquell's standardized test cycle is inject 10 grams per meter cube, dwell for 35 minutes, and then aerate to 0.9 part per million. And so you can see here that the contact time for the standardized test is 35 minutes. What we are hearing from the market and seeing in the market is that competitors' technologies in this standardized test have contact times of 2, 3, 6 hours, you know, compared to Bioquell's standardized contact time in this test of 35 minutes. There is a fundamental difference, and it shows the rapid performance of Bioquell's technology due to that patented microcondensation process. Bioquell has always said that hydrogen peroxide vapor decontamination processes are microcondensation-based processes, and we believe that this standardized testing will show that. And companies will put their standardized testing label or claims upon their label, which will allow users to be able to compare those technologies. performance verification, I mentioned it earlier when I was talking about large enclosures and that unlimited claim that we have. And as I said, it's because you need to verify the performance of the technology within that use scenario, within that claim. And this is laid out both in the EN 17272 standard and also in the European Chemical Agency's guidance document. What it says within EN 17272, even if an automated airborne disinfection system has passed all or part of the test method described here, the system and its delivered cycle should then be validated in the individual enclosure, e.g. a hospital room or animal house, in practice to be disinfected using appropriate biological or validated chemical indicators, i.e. when you do a disinfection, you need to prove that you've done what you've said you are going to do. You know, how do you know that your process has got kill in the corner, etc.? And ECHA takes it a little step further and actually says, you know, biological validation is performed by monitoring efficacy against a challenging test organism, e.g. Geobacillus stereothermophilus spores, during the room disinfection process. This is exactly what Bioquell does and has done for two decades. Bioquell places biological indicators of Geobacillus stereothermophilus around the enclosure and looks, you know, at the end of the disinfection cycle, collects them, you know, looks for growth and confirms that there is that 6-log kill of Geobacillus stereothermophilus. We also use calibrated chemical indicators, sometimes in with biological indicators, other times just on their own, which have been calibrated to that 6-log Geobacillus stereothermophilus kill within Bioquell's resistometer. So the same resistometer that we use, the same method that we use to say, you know, that biological indicator has a certain level of resistance to hydrogen peroxide vapor, is exactly the same resistometer we use to say that chemical indicator has the same resistance to hydrogen peroxide vapor as the biological indicator. So it's calibrated, it's the key thing. The chemical indicator is calibrated to the biological indicator. And so we do that performance verification, and that needs to be done in each of the rooms, each of the enclosures, because the point is every use scenario is different because the content of the room is different. The surface to volume ratio is different. And where you don't need to use biological or chemical indicators every time is in scenarios where you have fully controlled conditions, like an isolator in a clean room, which has controlled environmental conditions, and you have a controlled load that's the same every time. So you do the validation once, so you validate the cycle, and you know, again, using biological indicators, you know the performance, and then you can repeatedly use that cycle with then applying a periodic requalification process to confirm the cycle efficacy. You don't need to put a biological or chemical indicator in every time you run the cycle, but you do have to have the validation data to support it. So labeling clusters, because of the amount of information that is required to go onto a label, and those labels are for a union authorization and thus have to have all of the languages of the different countries within the European Union on them, we cannot fit obviously all of those languages because of the amount of information on a single label. And so Bioquell is moving to labeling clusters. We've developed labeling clusters for the different languages for the different territories. And basically, Bioquell has developed 6 labels ranging, and we call them E1 to E6, which is Europe 1 through to Europe 6. E1 is Bioquell's main label, and that is for territories in France, Italy, Netherlands, Belgium, Switzerland, and also Ireland, Malta. We will have the other labels there to split the European Union down into those geographical areas based on language. We will have a Germany or a German specific label, In Germany, the national requirements mean that there is more information required on the front panel of the label. You may be aware that Bioqual's label is a booklet label. So we have the front panel and then a concertina booklet that comes out. As the German rational regulations require that this additional information, we cannot fit all of that information on in multiple languages. So we have a German specific label that we will use. So basically there will be seven different labels throughout Germany. They all will say the same thing, just in the different languages. And so you'll just need to be aware of which product code goes into which territory from the language perspective. One other aspect of vapor phase hydrogen peroxide systems and any chemical automated disinfection system is how you measure the kind of safety aspects of being able to re-enter the enclosure after the decontamination cycle. And what you have is occupational exposure limits. And with hydrogen peroxide around the world, that occupational exposure limit is one part per million for an 8-hour exposure, meaning that the kind of legal limit is if you're going into an enclosure, you can be exposed to up to one part per million for 8 hours. And the data suggests that, you know, there will be no effect, there'll be no harmful effect. And that's the limit. And Bioqual have worked to one part per million, you know, around the world generally. When the European Union did their calculations of hydrogen peroxide vapor for toxicity, etc., their calculation actually brought the level out at 0.9 part per million. So where Bioqual has been running in Europe, generally at one part per million, that is going to change, and we're going to run at 0.9 part per million as the point at which you can re-enter the enclosure. Now, it may seem, you know, what's the difference between one part per million and 0.9? But because it's at the bottom end of the cycle, it will extend the cycle slightly, you know, by 5-10 minutes, for example. Now, the key thing is, you know, Bioqual, we're talking about what we do today versus what we're going to do in the future. The key thing here is that many of our competitors do not have aeration systems. They have no means of monitoring when a room is safe to go back in. And it is absolutely fundamental to the process of running a decontamination cycle. Being able to tell a customer, and for users, being able to know when it's safe to go back in. Bioqual use low-level handheld calibrated monitors to be able to measure the concentration within the enclosure to be able to say, yep, that's the level before you go in. And we use those monitors to monitor the surrounding area as well, to monitor that, while the decontamination is going on, there is no small area, you know, that there's any leak point, etc., where, you know, hydrogen peroxide vapor may be able to escape, to ensure that, you know, we're safe when we're running decontamination cycles. So it's really important for users to ask, what system is being used? What's the occupational exposure limit? For peracetic acid, for example, it's 0.16 part per million. It's all, you know, kind of a tenth of or a ninth of what the exposure limit is for hydrogen peroxide vapor. Again, ozone, 0.1 part per million. You need, you know, users need to understand what the safety aspects are of these, you know, disinfection systems, which will be written into their SBCs, their summary of product characteristics, the authorizations on the label. Now, one of the things that we do today and need to continue to be aware of is national limits. So although our European authorization says 0.9 part per million, in certain countries in Europe, they have lower national limits. For example, Germany at 0.5 part per million, Poland 0.3 part per million. Bioqual has always worked to those limits. We will continue to work to those limits. But again, it's just understanding the scenarios in those different territories. Just to mention here, you know, I've been talking about what's, you know, European biocidal product regulation with Brexit, because you know, the UK left the European Union. Whilst we were participating in the EU BPR, as Brexit, we have left that process, and so we now have within Great Britain what's called GB BPR, which is basically a replicate of EU BPR, but BioQuas had to do its entire submission again to the Health and Safety Executive here in the UK. And so whilst, you know, we are imminently going to get our EU BPR, we are still going to have to go through several years of process to get our equivalent GB BPR approval. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't sell in Great Britain. Absolutely not. We are on the market. We are perfectly legal to sell. But it's to make people aware that there is two distinct regulations now because of Brexit. We have EU BPR and GB BPR. Just to make you aware, we are going to put our EU Union authorization number on our GB BPR label so that customers will see that. And one of the reasons for that is because of Northern Ireland, which actually, as a territory from a regulatory perspective, is incredibly difficult because it's covered under both European regulations and it's covered under both GB regulations. And, you know, we're trying to create a label that covers both scenarios that can be sold in. And that's why. But that is going through the process. And we will do. So in conclusion, if we just revisit some of the key points of this presentation. So BioQual has a BPC approval opinion for its BioQual hydrogen peroxide, its HPVAQ, and that's for a union authorization expected imminently to go into EU law. It covers both large and small enclosures. It covers all of the microbiological organism groups, so it can be used with all of them. And its validated cycle time is expected to be significantly quicker, you know, providing those advantages to our use of our technology than competitors' products. And again, to just remember that you need to understand your dispersion system. BioQuas is a vaporized system. Our HPVAQ is for use with a vapor system, and you need to understand with a user's technology, is it what is its distribution mechanism? Is it a vapor? Is it a fog? Is it nebulization, etc.? And again, the key takeaway is that this is a regulation. It is the law. You know, you need to ensure, have conversations with your manufacturers when you're looking to purchase equipment or with existing equipment that you have, that they have an approval for their biocidal product that covers their intended use. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this presentation. We hope it's been useful for you. Should you have any questions, please get in touch with your local account manager. Thank you.